You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with EJ Major. She's in London. EJ, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
So, EJ, let's talk about what you're working on now or preparing for. What are you in the process of making? And then we'll discuss exactly, you know, how it's all coming together.
Sure. I'm immediately next week I have a book fair called Offprint Paris, which is something of a sideline in my practice. I actually self-publish my own books. So to some extent I'm getting ready for that 5 days in Paris. It runs alongside Paris Photo, so there are an awful lot of people in town, and self-publishers and small arts publishers get together at the École des Beaux-Arts and sell direct to the public or to those people that are passing through. But the larger event that I'm preparing for is my solo show, first solo show in Germany, which is in January next year.
Before you go on, I want to talk about that solo show in Germany, but let's talk a little bit more about publishing and how you got involved in that, because that's pretty exciting, and I love publishing and books. So how did you get involved in that? And is that just your books you're showcasing, or are you also publishing others?
Sure. Well, I got involved with a group called Artist Book Cooperative that was originally set up by the German artist Joachim Schmidt. And he set up this group on the basis that with the advent of digital printing, suddenly short runs became much more viable. So rather than large publishing houses having a kind of monopoly on book printing, smaller houses and individual artists could get in on this and, you know, do limited edition runs, be more experimental and have control over their own output. So this group was going for a while, and I had a friend that was involved. And at the same time, I was putting together a book of a mail art project I did called Love Is, where I froze every second of Last Tango in Paris, the Bertolucci movie, and made an individual postcard out of each second, and then hand-distributed these 7,000-odd postcards over the course of 2 years with Love Is stamped on the back and asked people to return them to me. So what I wanted to do sort of...
Well, wait a minute. I want you to go on with that, but just to be really clear, because that's fascinating. There are 7,000 seconds in an entire feature film, Last Tango in Paris?
Yep, 7,254, I think, to be exact.
Wow, okay, so there's a postcard for everyone. You mail them out and ask for a response.
Yeah, what I did is hand-deliver them. So I chose areas and then put them through people's mailbox like a postman so that they could remain anonymous. And then there was a free post address license on the back, which allowed them to return the postcards to me if they wanted to for free and to respond. So the prompt Love Is dot, dot, dot was on the back, and they could respond if they wished to.
And you hand-delivered 7,000. That's an awful lot to hand-deliver. That's quite a...
It was over the course of 2 years and with some considerable help from friends and family.
Okay.
So over the course of that time, 454 returns came back. And this took several years, and so having finally, you know, come to the point where I thought everything had come back that was going to come back, I wanted to put the whole project together, and the most effective way of doing that was to put it back in the narrative sequence of the film and to make a book. So that was really the beginning of my interest in, well, books have always been a passion, but my own bookmaking started really with wanting to put Love Is together.
So when you put them all back together in a narrative fashion, you obviously there's 454, so there's all kinds of missing pieces. But you're saying the book is 454 pages chronologically.
That's right, and actually, so most of the film is missing. But the what happens when you sort of extract every second and then put back together a portion for 5% is that you can still read the narrative of the film through the images. Because most scenes are kind of represented by at least 1 second. So there's a continuity throughout the film from the images that were returned, if that makes sense.
It does. And so that was your first book, and you know you're preparing now to go to this fair. Do you have many more books, or how did that grow?
I have several further books. So other projects, other works that lent themselves to books. For instance, I did a piece that referenced Faulkner's novel, As I Lay Dying, which I read when I was 16, and I revisited 16 years later. And so the piece looks at the pages that I heavily underlined as a 16-year-old and reconstructs them using images sourced from Brownie annuals. So it extracts 50 pages and the particular text from these 50 pages and reuses them. And it was an installation piece, so it's shown on a wall, but it made complete sense to put it back into book form. So, and then almost all my pieces actually have made it into book form one way or another.
And these are really artist books, of course, and they're small run. Do they sell well? I mean, is it something I guess it's really working in that sense that people want them and they're buying them?
Well, you're never going to make your fortune making artist books.
right. I didn't know. That's why I'm asking. It's one of those rarefied forms that also, as lush and beautiful as they are, and sometimes even inexpensive for what they are, they seem to sometimes have a hard time finding an audience.
Sure, but they don't necessarily, because of digital printing, they don't have to be as expensive or rarefied as all that these days. So it is possible to make them more affordable, and that's part of the rationale, I think, really, with ABC, was it's a great way for an artist to share their work sort of outside of a gallery context. And outside of limited edition prints and so on, which obviously are usually quite expensive. So it's a really... And also to share a whole body of work rather than just individualized pieces, which is often, perhaps in a group show or in an article, you're only showing one or two images from a body of work, whereas a book is a great way to show an entire project. And there is an audience. It's not huge, but
of course. But when you're, I want to talk about your solo show also. But when you're producing these, when you talk about digital processes, we're obviously not talking about like blurb or standard books. We're talking about a kind of print on demand and perfect bound. Or how are they actually assembled?
To be honest, we were talking about Blurb and Lulu. So Joachim, this was his initial engagement with POD, Print on Demand, was with those companies. The difficulty with those companies is, one, you're very restricted in your formats, and two, the actual individual cost of each item is still quite high. And as digital printing has developed, it's more possible to have a relationship with a digital printer who will do short runs at a much more affordable price. And then it brings the unit cost down so that the public and collectors can actually afford these works. And you have so much more control. Obviously, with Blurb and Lulu, they have prescribed formats, and it's very limiting, really.
And the binding, do you also have much control over
the binding? Yes. Perfect binding generally for... artists do different things. Some artists will use digital printing and then get perhaps the binding done by hand if they want something very specific. Most of my books are perfect bound.
And it's fascinating to discuss that. I'm glad we did. Let's talk about your solo show and what will be in that. I know it's a bit of a retrospective of work, isn't it?
a retrospective. It's particular works of, yes, from the last decade, really, from 2004 to the present day. So the book I discussed, The Lovers Project, the Mail Out Project, will be shown in Germany for the first time as an installation. So the entire, all 450 responses will be installed in the gallery. In the past, in the gallery space, it's only been a small edit of the work. So it's quite exciting that the whole narrative, at least the returned narrative, will be shown in one space. And my other work, so Shoulder to Shoulder, which is a look at protest and the suffragette movement in the context of today, will also be featured alongside Marie Claire Rip, which was the project based on a series of police mugshots from the New York Police Department of the same woman over a 14-year period. And I restage them using myself as the subject.
And well, before you go on, tell me a little bit about that project, because that's not clear to me exactly what happened there. There was a... So if you could explain that a little more.
Sure. So in, I think it was about many years ago, 2002, I came across a copy of the magazine Marie Claire at a friend's house, flicking through a magazine, and there was a central article, a double-page spread, with 12 images of basically mugshot images that the New York Police Department had taken of the same woman, 16 when the first one was taken, and then 14 years later the last one was taken. And the article was called Diary of a Heroin Addict and specified that not long after this last picture was taken, the woman was found dead. But more than that, we weren't really told, except that the presumption was that she was a heroin addict and she was arrested several times over the course of her life. And the images, they just haunted me, really. They stayed in my mind until eventually I asked for the magazine. I scanned the images. I sort of worked with the images as they were, made large hot wax prints. And yet they still sort of niggled at me, and so I decided to restage the set of portraits, but using myself as the subject, and to do them on large format transparency, actually, so that they, instead of being these very sort of incidental, if you like, or casually displayed mugshots, they would be large pieces of work that would confront you in a way that I felt like these images were confronting me.
I like that. And was the story also told as you're presenting these and displaying these of the original article of the woman who, and what it was based on, essentially?
Well, originally in the gallery context, what I did is I used there were arrest dates given, years of arrest on these images, and I stripped away the mugshot aspect, so they were portraits straight to camera, but without holding a, you know, the sort of plaque board, arrest board that they use, the identity board, but I used the dates below the images. And I used the title of the piece in Marie Claire, which was, they labeled it Diary of a Heroin Addict. I used it as a kind of partial anagram from which to come up with small statements for each of the individual images. So one says, I hear rain, or hear rain, and the other says, race dirty. And I've just used the letters that they used, but differently. And
that sounds like such a vast series. Is it something that also can be seen? Do you feel that they live individually? In other words, if someone wanted one, they can just have an individual piece, or does that really if someone were to collect that, come as an entire installation of images.
Yeah, I really struggle to separate it, to be honest, because I showed it once in Germany at another show. The curator wanted to show it as a continuum, as a long line, and I allowed this to happen, and then went to see the show. And whilst it works on one level as a kind of timeline, it doesn't really work in the way that I want it to work. And so it's in the way that I want it installed, and will only install it now, is two rows of six, where you confront the entirety at once, and then you can sort of cross-reference between and look between the faces. But it's really, it's that... It's that solid grid, if you like, of information that you take in one go that I'm interested in, rather than a timeline, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, I have been off, you know, people have wanted to buy individual works and I've resisted.
And what else is in the show? Is that the whole solo show, or I think you were talking about other elements?
There will be an area showing my books, but the final area of the show is actually a new piece of work that I'm currently still working on, which is called Every Day in November / When Nothing Will Do.
And what does that contain?
It's actually a slightly what I'm doing is I'm creating a wallpaper out of it's more of an installation piece, and also in a sense of film work, but not perhaps a conventional film work. So I have several years ago I recorded myself every day in the month of November just before I turned 40. And I've extracted in a similar way to the process with Love Is. I've turned those moving images into stills, so extracted every second of that footage. And from that, I'm making wallpaper for the gallery space. And over the course of several years, around this time, I was also taking stills, but... stills which, though they tied together, I wouldn't consider a series exactly. So what I'm doing with those is I've constructed a moving, so I've made the stills move in a moving image context. So I will be showing moving images as stills and still images as moving images within this piece.
That sounds like a very exciting show that you're about to have, and I wish you luck on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. In terms of, I mean, all the things we're talking about, the books and these different series, none of them sound that they are easy to consume, easy to buy. Is it something that easily moves into the marketplace? In other words, do you sell some of this work, and if so, how? And
you're completely right. It's, no, they don't move easily into the marketplace, and, selling is not at the forefront by any means of, either my objective or also actually what I'm very good at. This is where sort of agents and galleries come in, but, yeah,
Let me ask this. I don't want you to struggle with it too much. Is it, I mean, you're working other jobs, you're teaching, and...
That's the way around that I've chosen to do it, actually, in order to have sort of independence in terms of how I approach my work. So teaching has been an aspect... Commercial retouch has also been something that I've done. There are always background activities in terms of financing
But nevertheless, you have these galleries and gallerists or others working with you that are actively trying to sell the work, correct?
Yes,
or is it mostly...
No, it's less in a commercial context. I mean, I have shown in commercial galleries, but often... So the Forum de Photography in Germany is a more of a public art space. And, I mean, I think having gaining a reputation for doing what you... do and then moving into a commercial space where somebody takes on what you do in a very individual way takes time, and it's a slow process to find a gallery with whom you can work that way over the course of time. I have had a few bad experiences in the past with commercial galleries, so you have to be very careful, I think. I mean, ideally, that will happen at some point, because obviously the more my own work can fund itself, then the freer I am to produce it. But it's one that you have to be careful with.
Absolutely. In closing, I'd like the listeners to be able to also look at your books. Is there any way they can purchase them online, or maybe you want to say something about the upcoming fair?
Sure. Well, some of them have an online presence. Some of them I need to update my website, so it's a little bit more. So it has the current. So the two that I published this year, Rabbit and From a Distance, aren't yet on my site. But Marie Claire Rip, actually, the book that I was talking about with the police mugshots, is published by L'Erdite, a publisher in Paris. So that can be found on their website and links to it on my website. If anyone is in Paris from the 11th till the 15th of November, then off-print is at the École des Beaux-Arts and is well worth a visit. It's the most astonishing building and room apart from anything else, but with really amazing books and artists in there as well. And yes, ABC is also, so Artist Book Cooperative do off-print in Paris, and we also do the New York Art Book Fair. I can't always be there. And sometimes the one in LA as well, so you would find some books by ABC members there as well.
Well, EJ, thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and your work.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, Brainard. It's great.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.